Again, we only had a preview of the Combine episode last week. Big news on Dalton's end, big traveling for both of us. I was at the Combine all week, and to be honest, was not an environment to record, nor really did I have the mood to record based off of the late nights that I had at the Combine networking and trying to do as much as I could to dig up some scoops. But Dalton, back in Portugal. But today, we're going to do a little overreaction mock draft to things we heard at the Combine, testing numbers, things like that. This is a little fun. This isn't predictive, but like let's overreact a little bit. Yeah. So, Dalton, from Portugal, how are you?
It's a completely different mindset, skill set, love set. Portugal, being back here, we walked today down into town and back, and I walked to the gym and back, and right there was 15,000 steps. We walked through a thunderstorm. It poured on us on the way back from the cafe, and we didn't care a single little iota because I was outside. I was not miserable, even though, like, it just, I land here in Lisbon, or I land in Lisbon, and it's just a snap, and I'm back to where I'm supposed to be. And I hope that everybody out there who is a good, decent human being finds that place for them if they're not there right now.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I couldn't imagine that the weight that you had to go through there. But yeah, I was in Indianapolis. I published an article about all the things that I heard. It honestly blew up way bigger than I expected it to. So thank you for the 50 new subscribers. And I think like 20,000 views that article got off of a little rinky dink mom and pop Substack. But so we'll incorporate a little bit of things that I've heard into what's happening here. So it's impossible not to talk about it a little bit. But we had a little fun setup too, where we drafted the teams that we wanted to pick for. So we didn't snake. We didn't alternate picks here. We took turns picking what teams we wanted to pick for. And so Dalton is first up with the Titans.
Yeah, and I'm starting off with a scorcher here. The perfect Raz, the perfect player. And listen, we're not overreacting to this because we told y'all the entire time that Shamar Stewart was a potential 10-0 guy.
Yep.
And Shamar Stewart was a 10-0 guy. You're looking at a guy, the hand size was kind of interesting. Only like a little bit over 9.5. I figured he would have bigger hands just because like everything else about him is insane. But 4.59, the 1.58, it's unofficial, obviously, but
That's freaky. That's a freaky 10 split for a guy.
It's a freaky 10 split, man. He came in at 267. It's the only yellow that he has on his Raz card. And 267 in the modern day of the NFL for an edge rusher is quite large. And I mean, we saw him play probably closer to 275, 280 at Texas A&M. We saw the explosiveness that he had. It'll be interesting to see where he plays at the NFL level. I never thought that he looked that big, or he looked as big as he was listed. And we talked about this during the year too. Like, it looked like Skorton was bigger, but when you have somebody who,
well, might've been, Skorton was 285 in season. My God.
Yeah, but like when you're carved out of stone as well, mm-hmm. There's a chance because you are leaner that you're going to look leaner even though you are around the same weight. Like if you're carrying a little bit bad weight like Skorton was during the year, you're going to be able to notice that a little bit more. But freaky athlete, man. And for me, this kind of came down to the Abdul Carter news more than anything else, the stress fracture. He played against Notre Dame with a bum shoulder. Like, he's a little bit banged up, wasn't able to test. And Stewart, you know, even without the production at Texas A&M, there's a very clear path to him being a very good run defender at the NFL level from the start with a freaky, freaky upside as a pass rusher. So the number one pick to the Tennessee Titans is not a quarterback. I've talked about this a million times. I can't imagine Brian Callahan surviving Cam Ward in year one, like literally physically. So I had to pass on him.
Yeah, so that leaves me with the Cleveland Browns at number two, and I tried my hardest not to draft the Browns. I did not want to pick for the Browns because I just hate every potential outcome where they're sitting right now. At this point, I think the Giants are going to leak to one and take Cam Warden. I don't buy the buzz. That's like it's just like very loud that the Browns are in love with Cam Warden. They're taking him at two because like you don't leak that information if you don't have the direct right to draft that player. Like unless the Browns are dead set on trading up to one. Which if Cam Ward is their guy, they shouldn't sit on their thumbs. They should trade up to one. Like, but like that news doesn't come out if you don't hold the number one overall pick. Like, so I think that news is coming from somewhere else. And I think that might be Tennessee trying to tell the Giants, hey man, you better get up here. They're gonna take him. Because there's no way the Browns were like, yeah, we love Cam Ward when there's a chance that a team could jump them and take him. Like that just it doesn't make sense. But in this mock draft, Cam Ward falls to two. And as much as I hate the idea of Cam Ward going second overall to the Cleveland Browns and the fit and Kevin Stefanski's offense, whatever. Let's roll with it here. Because the buzz out of Indianapolis was that this is a one quarterback class and there is a chasm between quarterback one and quarterback two and three, and that the gap between Shedeur Sanders and Jackson Dart is actually closer than the gap between Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. Okay. My mind is sparking like a I just put tinfoil in the microwave, but Cam Ward to Miami, man. Whatever, let's do it.
The New York Football Giants—they're just—they're in this instance, they're just going to draft the best player available, and the best player available with no lingering injuries is Travis Hunter. We've talked about him ad nauseum at this point. As a corner, we're talking about truly special skill set here. And so this was an easy selection for me, Hunter to the Giants. The next pick, do you want to bring anything up for the Giants real quick?
No, I don't.
It's weird not going back and forth with this. It's a different setup. But Abdul Carter falls right into New England's hands. Obviously, the stress fracture in the foot is something that we're going to have to keep an eye on. The one thing about New England that makes me feel a little bit better is there's no way that they can assume they're going to compete this year. So if you are okay with Abdul Carter getting surgery, being out for an extended period of his rookie season, and you're all right with that, you still have 4 years of him at a very inexpensive rate if he ends up being what we believe him to be. As somebody who was an ascending player this year, literally got better like every single week to culminate in a performance with on one shoulder with a stress fracture in his foot against Notre Dame. Just a really freaky player. And I hope he gets healthy. And this would be a really fun fit in New England.
Yeah, number five to Jacksonville. I debated taking a big old overreaction here, but I'm going to take let's just take Will Campbell. Like, let's not get too cute. You have Trevor Lawrence. You have an offensive play caller that you believe in. You have a bona fide wide receiver one. Just take Will Campbell. Keep Trevor Lawrence on his feet. The buzz out of Indy is that everybody thinks that Will Campbell is a tackle. He'll probably get the chance to fail outside. Ultimately, I'm going to grade him as a guard because the issues that I see aren't length related, but they're foot speed related on tape. And I know he tested like an elite athlete, but I still want to see him kick more consistently and more agilely with more agility than he does, in my opinion. And I think that's where he gets beat by those bendier edge rushers is because he's not matching depth. But he'll get the chance to fail outside. But even, you know, the Jaguars need guards as well. So I don't think you're missing on this pick with Will Campbell at 5-6 Las Vegas. So I feel like we've hammered home this point. Like the Raiders don't have offensive talent anywhere. And I also think they're probably a bigger player in the free agent market than they are in the draft because Pete Carroll is the oldest head coach in the NFL. I think the tolerance for a rookie quarterback on that coaching staff on that team is probably pretty low. And I think that makes them probably a pretty big player for Sam Darnold. So instead, if this team truly lacks talent at the wide receiver position, they have Brock Bowers, who they can force feed footballs to, and that's going to be great for if they do get a guy like Sam Darnold, because that's how you take the pressure off a guy like Sam Darnold. But do you know how you also take the pressure off of a guy like Sam Darnold? Is to hand the football off 25 times a game. So Ashton Jeanty to the Raiders here.
Yeah, the Jets are a pretty easy one for me here. I don't like doing this, but I will say I was probably one of the earliest adopters of the Armand Membau is really freaking good at football train. He ended up, I talked about it, Feldman's freak list. I knew he was going to be a very good athlete. This is not an overreaction. A month and a half ago, it might have been seen as an overreaction. But Armand Membau is the right tackle for the New York Jets. And now you have Membau on the right side.
And Fashanu on the left side, yeah.
Very good Fashanu when he was healthy on the left side. And then you just hope to God that Elijah Vera Tucker can stay healthy. And you're looking at a pretty darn
good O-line. Joe Tittman at center, too. Yeah. I like that. So Carolina at 8. Carolina's another team. They got some nice manufactured touches out of Jalen Coker down the stretch. I think Bryce Young, I'm still not ready to say like, oh, he turned it around. I think he played better at the end of the season. I think having Andy Dalton back in the building as well is a really helpful thing for him. They invested a ton of money in the offensive line last year. I'm going to take just the best overall playmaker on the board here. And one you can also manufacture touches to take a little bit of pressure off and just get the ball to him in space because he played wildcat quarterback. He caught screens. They let him do everything with the football at Penn State and just get him Tyler Warren in that Carolina offense and let them cook.
With the next pick.
You got the next four picks.
Yeah. I have the next four picks here, but I really want to talk about this next pick. What in the heck, good sir? 31 and a half inch arms? For Tetaroa McMillan.
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense at all. I thought he was coming in with 35 inch arms.
It's pretty suspicious. He just said, like, I'm not running.
I thought he was coming in with 35 inch arms. Mm-hmm. And so I could overreact and say, well, this is a guy, he didn't run. I don't think he's particularly quick. I don't think he plays particularly sturdy for his size. Everybody kind of brings up Mike Evans. You can't say that anymore. Just flat out. I didn't think.
It's not even nearly as strong for contact to begin with. Yeah.
No. But outstanding size. And he still has that catch radius where he doesn't separate. And we've had this talk in my Discord. He doesn't separate in a way that we like to see guys separate. But when you are able to win at the catch point the way that he's able to, I think that that is a different level of separation. And I think that he does at least bring that. Now, I think that you need a quarterback that's able to maximize that. Is Derek Carr that guy? No, but could Spencer Rattler potentially be that guy in the future? That could be a potential. Because you need a guy who's going to test windows like that. And we've just seen Derek Carr, for all of the physical talent that he has shown us over the years, he is a bit gun shy. And then he has a little bit of the bozo gene, but not at the best times.
Yeah.
So that is the pick to New Orleans. We still, I don't think, know what's happening with Chris Olave. So it's just a tough scene down there with all the roster turnover that we're going to have. Chicago wants to die right now, not being able to have Will Campbell here or Armand Membau, really. Yeah. So they're just going to take the best player available. Mason Graham, defensive tackle, Michigan. I think he's one of the best players in this class. Nothing that happened at the combine talked me out of it. And then the next pick is kind of the same here. Nothing talked me out of Kelvin Banks Jr. being one of the top tackles off of the board this year. Going to San Francisco, I think that there's a potential he could start right away at right tackle and then eventually move to left tackle. whenever that spot opens up, whenever that spot may open up at this point. So I think that was a pretty easy pick as well. San Francisco, it feels like, has needed right tackle ever since Mike McGlinchey left in free agency, and they probably needed one before Mike McGlinchey left in free agency. He actually kind of worked in that offense because he was a good run blocker and an okay pass protector for that type of passing attack that they had. Yeah. The next pick is an overreaction, but it is an overreaction to somebody who tested absolutely out of his mind that we don't see on tape, and that is Texas wide receiver Matthew Golden. You could not have convinced me he would run a sub 4.4.
I was like, if this kid hits it, I was like, if he hits 4.48, that'll be awesome. That'll be stellar.
Yeah, 4.45 would have been amazing. He ran a 4.29. And I have troubles, just full transparency. You guys know, like, I'm kind of a Cowboys fan. My fandom is very much practically dead at this point, just in general. But it is difficult for me to justify taking a wide receiver at 12 to be your number two when he's a worse prospect than CeeDee Lamb was, and CeeDee Lamb went 17th overall to the Cowboys. However, different classes, different situations, and I do think Matthew Golden brings, even at his size, which isn't fantastic, his ability to win on the outside, his ability to be, and this is something that I literally just thought of, a supercharged Michael Gallup, because what Michael Gallup brought to the Cowboys was different than what he brought to Colorado State. He was a ball hog at Colorado State. He was somebody who worked all three levels of the field. And then when he got to Dallas, he was more of a vertical threat. Even though he ran a 4.55, he wasn't that fast. He separated really well late, and he was fantastic around the sidelines. Matthew Golden is that, and that is something that Dak Prescott has missed for a long time now. So I like the fit. It seems early to me at 12, but get Dak Prescott weapons.
For sure. There's no way he gets out of the first round now. I don't think there's any way he gets out of the first round now. I already thought he was a super clean and refined prospect.
Yeah, he might be the first wide receiver taken.
That would be nuts. But like in the Arizona State game, he catches a slant and gets hawked in the open field. So like, I was like, oh, this isn't a super explosive guy, but he's clean. He's refined. He knows how to win. Okay. 4.29. Sure. Sure. Again, go back, watch the tape. See if it does translate. I still don't think it does, but that's not to say that I mean, I've loved Matthew Golden for months now. So, hell yeah, dude. Miami Dolphins, number 13 overall. So with Teron Armstead here, flirting with retirement, he just reduced his base salary down to the veteran minimum, so Miami can at least spend some money while he makes his decision. Like, he sifts through his decision. That's 1 foot out the door already, right? So take a tackle here. And I'm going to go with Josh Simmons, who is well ahead of his recovery time frame. He's saying he might be able to test at the pro day, at Ohio State's pro day, which would be unreal for a patellar tendon complete tear in October. So. But I do think of Joshua Simmons. It's so tough because like we were about to hit the meat of Ohio State season. So he had Iowa and Michigan State were his two conference games. And then the Oregon game was good up until the injury, but then we missed the Abdul Carter matchup. We missed all of the college football playoffs. And so that's really rough, but he was putting out OT1 tape, up to that point in the season. So he's a first round pick, especially in a league that's again, is starved for tackles. So, let's go ahead and book it here. Joshua Simmons to the Miami Dolphins at 13.
Will Johnson is still on the board. Will Johnson is no longer on the board. He's going to Indianapolis. This is the easiest selection in the entire draft. We'll see what happens. Michigan hides their athletes in their pro day. There's probably a pretty good reason why they do that. Mm-hmm. But I think the questions surrounding Will Johnson's long speed are over exaggerated, in my opinion, just based off of what we've seen on tape.
And I'm seeing some, like, you don't draft a pure cover three corner that high. And I was like, but like, watch his 2022, 2020. This isn't a pure cover three corner. Like, the dude is pressing. The dude is ball hawking. I do think there's an element of he was playing hurt. I think there's an element of he probably checked out a little bit once he realized that Michigan wasn't doing anything this year.
Yeah, they won a natty. He was banged up. They were bad. Like,
right.
Okay.
So I do think there's an element of that that played into it as well. But yeah, that, Will Johnson's not going to be a player that I overthink in this class. No. All right, Atlanta. So of all of the players that I heard the most buzz about in this class in Atlanta, I don't think I heard more than I did about Jahad Campbell out of Alabama. I know he only ran a 4.52, but the combine IQ.
What did you just say?
Only ran a 4.52. Yeah.
Only ran a 4.52 at 245 pounds.
Yeah, but here's, listen to what I was told by a scout the night before. We want him. We will run the card up, team picking in the top 20. We will run the card up, sprint the card up if he's there, but we don't think he's going to be there because we have tracking data that shows that he might run a 4.38 tomorrow. And his on-field like GPS tracking data, again, that stuff could be wonky, and this is the first year that Next Gen Stats has done the Combine IQ like tracking data alongside on their combine results, but he tracked as the best athlete of any position at the NFL Combine. So, like, we're talking about a guy who's 6'3", 240, like, he's an unreal, I think he weighed in like 235, so 237, something like that. So, but again, that's a great size. He can play off the edge. He plays at the second level. He can turn and run with anybody. He matches slot receivers on the hashes. Like, Jahad Campbell is going to go in the top 20. I think that's the safest bet that I have right now is that Jahad Campbell will go in the top 20. We've also heard rumors that Atlanta has just pretty much predominantly honed in on picking defensive players early. And so I think this makes a lot of sense. They need edge rush help, but like, again, a couple of edge rushers in this class are going to fall because of off the field stuff, even if Atlanta might like the player. And take the best defensive player that might be on the board right now. They could go Mykal Williams. Mykal Williams didn't test. Mykal Williams played with the tightrope, like tightrope after tightrope surgery. I think Mykal Williams is just really stiff. So we're going to go Jahad Campbell to the Falcons right here, and they get a threat in the middle of their defense.
And Arizona, talking about a threat in the middle of their defense, is going to go with a threat in the middle of their offense. Let's help out Trey McBride. Let's help out Marvin Harrison Jr. a little bit. But let's really help out Trey McBride, and let's really help out Kyler Murray by getting him somebody who can take some manufactured touches, and that is Luther Burden III, wide receiver, Missouri. The buzz has consistently...
The vibes are not there.
...opposite way with him. And I understand it, but I'm betting on that. Betting on him.
So explosive, man.
I'm betting on that athlete. Oh,
the body control, too. I will say, watching him run live, he's a little tighter than I thought he was on tape. Which kind of concerns me a little bit, because I was like projecting him like, no, this guy can play Z and he can run every route. I think he can still play Z, but I'm not so sure about the route tree. But again, going to Arizona is the perfect, like Marvin Harrison there, Trey McBride there, get him in space, because at the end of the day, he's a low 4.4 athlete and he's unbelievably explosive. And his body control along the boundaries. That's one of the main reasons. And he plays through contact. So I do still think there's a lot there that he can play more than just a gadget slot. But I think pairing him with Marvin is awesome. All right. So that's it. That's the first 16 picks. We need to talk about one pretty notable name that has not come off the board through the first 16 picks. A notable name that was the talk of Indianapolis, and not really for good reasons, and that's Colorado quarterback Shedeur Sanders. Do I buy it? Probably some of it. Like, Todd McShay just came out and said, like, he went into team meetings and he didn't care what the other team, like, what the team thought of him. And that sounds like Shedeur Sanders to me, so that doesn't surprise me. Like, and maybe that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I think teams are expecting him to come in a little more grateful, a little more humble to team meetings, and like, but like, you brought Shedeur Sanders in here. Like, he's going to tell you, like me or don't. So I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. Could this be some smokescreen as well? Again, Cleveland at 2, falling in love with a player they don't have the right to draft is iffy to me. But again, I think that smoke is coming from Tennessee. I mean, Vegas sitting at 6, and I've heard some stuff that Spytek has loved Shedeur since he was the assistant general manager at Tampa. You know, that Tom Brady has worked out with Shedeur Sanders. Tom Brady loves Shedeur Sanders. So, like, this could be some Raiders just trying to sit pat at 6 and hope he falls to 6. You know, there's a lot that could be going on there. I don't doubt that Shador Sanders is rubbing teams the wrong way in meetings, though. Not at all. Like, that doesn't shock me. In this mock draft scenario, though, we're kind of, again, an overreaction mock draft. Shador Sanders is not off the board halfway through the first round. So that is worth talking about. We will be back and do the second half of this overreaction mock draft on Wednesday's episode. And we've got some fun fits on this back half, mixed with some things that I've heard, fits and things that I've heard, and overreaction to combine performances. So, yeah, I'm excited to dive into that tomorrow. Recapping picks 1 through 16 real fast. Overreaction Titans do the Trayvon Walker freak athlete 10 out of 10 RAS and select Shamar Stewart first overall. Cam Ward to Cleveland second. Travis Hunter to the Giants. There's a lot of buzz that the majority of NFL teams now think that Travis Hunter might be a receiver as well. I mean, if you're following the money, that tracks. If you're following the amount of times you can get the ball in his hands, that tracks. Number 4 to the New England Patriots, Abdul Carter. Jacksonville Jaguars, Will Campbell. Ashton Jensen to the Las Vegas Raiders. Armon Membau to the New York Jets. Tyler Warren to the Panthers. Tet McMillan to the Saints. Mason Graham to the Bears. Kelvin Banks Jr. to the Niners. Matthew Golden, the 429 Golden Boy, to the Dallas Cowboys. Joshua Simmons to the Miami Dolphins. Will Johnson, to the Colts. Jihad Campbell to the Falcons. Luther Burden III to the Arizona Cardinals. This has been it for this episode of the Draft on Draft podcast. We'll come back tomorrow, recap some of our favorite picks from that first half, dive into the second half. But stay tuned for that. Hope you enjoyed it.